Everyone. A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord today. It's good to see each and every one that's gathered out. And we do pray that the Lord will richly bless us and his presence will be a felt reality by each and by every one this morning. Those that are joining in online as well, we do extend to you a warm welcome to our services wherever you are. We do pray that the Lord will bless you and encourage you and even speak to you through his precious word today. Do remember the services. As they continue throughout today, we have our special time of prayer. Do remember tonight at 6 p.m. And those special seasons of prayer will be running throughout the month of January. Every Sunday evening from 6 o'clock until 10 to 7. And that's in place of our usual week of prayer to start off the year. Due to the circumstances, we can't be gathering every night. But it is still our desire to be praying unto the Lord and committing even our year unto him. And so do, if you can, attend those services or those times of prayer every Sunday night from 6 until 10 to 7. We have a special testimony meeting this evening as well. And we do encourage you and even invite and let others know and bring others in as my mum will be given a word of testimony of the Lord's work in her life and the Lord's grace even to her over these years. By the way, she did hear in last week whenever I said many years. And we'll leave it this evening. She can let you know if she so feels as to how many years it's been. But the Lord has been good to her, and she'll be here to testify this evening. Do remember as well the minister's week of prayer, which is usually where the ministers will be gathering together for the week. But due to the circumstances, that is online this week. It's certainly going to be very different. There'll be no times of the fellowship with the ministers together. But do pray for the ministers every morning as we meet together in Zoom from 10 a.m. To have those seasons of prayer together. Wednesday night at 8 p.m. will be our midweek Bible study and prayer meeting here in the church, and I'll be here in the will of the Lord to conduct that service. We do commend it to you, even at the start of this year, set aside in your hearts and even order your circumstances that you can be here week by week and even studying God's word and praying for the work here each week. Friday night there is a presbytery for the members of session online at 8 p.m. and when those details come through, we will forward them on to you. Next Sunday recommences the Sabbath school at 10:30 in the morning, and in the services at the normal times of 11:30 and 7 p.m. and the special time of prayer again next Sunday evening at 6. I'll be here to minister at both services, and we do encourage you and invite you to come back and make that effort to be here in the house of the Lord. There still are a few calendars in the front porch. If you can make use of them, even to pass them on to neighbours, to friends, to family, they are there in the front porch. All being well, whenever you come in this morning, you'll have found the motto text card. There's one for per person in your pew. Take it with you as you go and place it in your home in a place where you can remember and even pray over the text day by day. There is also a message from us on the back of the card as well, and we commend that to you. There are some spare ones of the motto text card in the front porch on the table. There is also the dates for the diary. And if you would like extra ones off them, then please avail of them as you leave after the service. And just go through the dates of the diary with you for 2021. As you can see, there's very little happening between now and really the month of June. And that's for the obvious circumstances. We're not planning too much, but if it happens to be that this virus clears, then certainly things can be added over the course of those months. But as a session, when we met, we thought it wise just to hold off from having any special services planned or in place throughout the opening half of the year. But there is, of course, the special services in June with Youth Sunday, Children's Day, and God willing, if we can have our barbecue at the end or in the middle of June there, then we certainly plan to do so. There is a holiday Bible club, as always, the third week of August. And if it's not possible to hold it in the building as we did the first year, then certainly it will be online again like last year. There is the week of prayer planned for September, followed by our two-week gospel mission. And certainly even already start to pray over that mission, pray that the Lord's hand will be upon it, that mission will be able to go ahead. The unsaved will be gathered in, and even precious souls brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Harvest will be in October, and then there is a special week of teaching meetings planned for the month of November, Monday the 8th through to Friday the 12th, the Reverend Thomas Martin, Minister of Cumber, will be along to conduct a week of Bible study in the book of Jeremiah. And we're entitling that week Journeys Through, or Journeying with Jeremiah. And he'll be giving an overview, all being well, throughout that week, Monday to Friday, in the book of Jeremiah as a whole. And then just finishing off the year as normal with our services in December, with the youth carol service, the children's carol service, and then the praise service. And if we, as I've said, if we can add other services throughout the year, depending on what's possible, we certainly will be looking at doing that. We had, if you remember, planned a ladies' fellowship evening last year, and that wasn't able to take place, but if that can be held this year, then certainly that will be added in, as well as special evenings for the youth, whether it be meeting up with other youths, or even if we can plan and have a youth weekend at some stage. All of those things we're leaving in the hands of the Lord. If it be possible to have them later on in the year, then certainly they will be added. Now, it is the first Sunday of the year, and we just remind you and always seek to bring it before you, the membership of the church and also the tax covenant scheme. If you are working and in full-time employment, you pay income tax, and you'd like even to contribute towards the church by doing that, because every pound that you give into the church, if you're in a tax covenant scheme, then the church is able to claim some of that back off the government. And we do commend that scheme to you. And if you're not part of it and you'd like to be, do mention and speak with our treasurer, Brother King, and he'll be able to give you the forms and even help you with that. And then also membership. As we've mentioned, we're delighted that there are three waiting to come into membership. We, God willing, will be bringing them in due course this year. And but if you've been coming to this church for a number of years and you're happy with the fellowship, you're happy with the teaching, and you're happy with the work here in Six Mile Cross, and you feel part of it, why not give yourself then in membership and come into community membership if you're saved and going on with the Lord? If you'd feel burdened about that, or you'd like to discuss it with me, then please do get in touch, and we'll be delighted even to speak to you on that matter. We're going to commence our service now by turning to the hymn 260. The hymn 260, and it's found in the page 381. O soul, are you wearied and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Saviour and life more abundant and free. The hymn 260, and remain seated as we sing, please. And let's stand as we look to the Lord in prayer at this stage, as we commit ourselves into his hands once again for the time that lies before us. Let's unite our hearts in prayer and seek the Lord's blessing even today. Eternal God and loving Father in heaven, we bow humbly and reverently before thee this morning, confessing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and our personal Saviour. We come to thee, O God, at the outset of this year with praise and with thanksgiving in our hearts. We are so thankful, O God, for thy hand upon us and for bringing us safely into another year. And Lord, even as we look and we stand in the threshold of it and we look even into the future, O Lord, we just rejoice that thou art the one who is with us. We rejoice, O God, that thou art the one who knows the future. And thou art the one whose will is even being accomplished in this world and in each one of our lives. And Lord, we are so thankful that we are safe in the arms of Jesus, that we are with him because he is with us. And we come to thee, O God, even this day. And we come to thee in this thy day, thankful that this is the day that the Lord hath made. And yea, we will rejoice and be glad in it. We're thankful once again for the opportunity to be gathered together. Thankful, O God, for how thou hast been with us and even ordered our footsteps in bringing us here today. Lord, for watching over us and for keeping thy hand upon us, for that measure of health and of strength, for the food upon our tables, for the clothes upon our backs, the roof over our heads, the breath in our lungs. O God, we just rejoice in the many gifts and the many benefits and the blessings that thou daily dost give to us. And O Lord, we just pray that thou wilt once again accept of our thanks, that thou wilt once again accept of our worship as we're gathered here together. And Lord, that thy presence will come amongst us. Lord, thou hast promised to be with us. Thou hast promised to be in the midst of us. And O God, as we are here today, we do ask thee that each and every one that is here will know thy divine presence amongst them. That each and every one that is here will know that the Lord is in the midst. O Father, we do pray that thou wilt bless us. We do pray that thou wilt bless in the singing of the hymns and the reading of thy word. We do pray, O God, that thou wilt bless in the preaching. As we bring the motto text for 2021, Lord, that this will be a year when our eyes are taken completely off self and off the world, when our eyes are fixed upon our Saviour, when we behold his glory, when we look upon his wonderful face. O Lord, there's so much in the world to discourage us. There's so much in the world to get us down and to make us depressed. But, O God, help us to lift our eyes heavenward. Help us to lift our eyes and to look upon our Saviour, the one who loved us, and the one who gave himself for us. Lord, bless each individual. Lord, even as we preach this word today and the days that lie ahead, may this verse and even this motto text, may it be an encouragement to thy people. May it be a reminder even to them of the goodness and the mercy of Almighty God, which follows them each and every day of their lives. Lord, remember each one that is before us here. Lord, bless them. Be with them and undertake for them in their various circumstances, in their schooling. O Lord, undertake in these days for all of the children and the older ones, O Lord, as they, Lord, look to thee even for that help in times of exams. And Lord, even as this year may bring to the end their time of education, undertake for them, lead them and guide them. For those who are in employment, Lord, we pray that thou wilt watch over them in these days, that thou wilt bless each individual, that thou wilt keep thy hand upon them. Those that are working, whether it be in the medical services, whether it be in the schools, whether it be in shops or in businesses, Lord, that thou wilt watch over each one, that thou wilt enable them to live for Christ, that men and women will see that these are children of God, that their faith and their dependence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless each one, we pray thee. Remember those that are not here. We think of those, O God, that would love to be here, but due to circumstances, it's impossible that they can join with us. Lord, be with them and bless them. Encourage them in their hearts. Remember those of our elderly, Lord, in nursing homes and in homes. Lord, bless them. May thy presence be with them. Remember those that are ill. Remember those that are going through dark valleys of providence. Remember those that are in mourning as well. Lord, we just commit each one into thy hands. Thou knowest every need. Thou knowest every home. Thou knowest, O God, every burden. Lord, we just pray that thou wilt undertake for thy children, that thou wilt encourage them. We pray for homes where the children are their grown up, children are still not saved, where families are still not united in Christ. Oh, that 2021 will be the year, O God, when families are united, when the circle is unbroken, whenever those that are outside of Christ are brought into Christ. Lord, hear the prayers that have been offered over many years. We rejoice. Not one prayer has ever been forgotten. Oh Lord, may this be the year when the prayers are answered, when souls are saved, when backsliders are restored, and when thy children, oh God, grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, we pray. Bless us even now in this time together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to read from the book of Exodus in the chapter 33. We're going to leave our reading in the Psalms to this evening. And this morning we're just going to read some verses from Exodus 33. And if you've looked at your motto text card, you'll know that the motto text from the year is found in the verse 18 of this passage. But Exodus 33, we're going to commence our reading at the verse number 11. And we'll read down to the end of the chapter together. Exodus 33 in the verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, when while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Amen. And once again we look to the Lord for the blessing upon the reading of his precious and his infallible word. We're going to sing one more hymn just before we come to the preaching part of the service. The hymn 542. 542, Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. The hymn 542, and let's sing on to the Lord, please. Thank you. We'll stand for prayer again, just at this stage, as we ask the Lord for his help upon the preaching of the word and even the hearing of it this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, O God, that our confidence even for the future is in our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're thankful, O God, that he has already won the victory. We're thankful, O God, that his throne is set in heaven. And Lord, we do rejoice there is not one will ever remove him from it. We're thankful, O God, this day that he is the one who is in control of all things. He is the King of heaven and of earth. And Lord, we rejoice this day that our salvation is in our King. And Lord, we just pray as we come around this subject now, and as we come to look at our motto text, Lord, we do pray that we will see the glory of God. That throughout this year that we will look upon the Lord. That we will see him high and lifted up. Oh Lord, bless us, we pray. Encourage us in our hearts even now. Touch our lips, even as we proclaim thy word. Fill us with thy spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just give you a bit of a background as to how we came to this verse for this year. At the end of the summer, I was asked to go and to preach in a youth rally in Cookstown on the subject of the glory of God. At that time, I went, I preached, come home, set aside the message, and then as the rest of the year continued, I kept getting drawn back to this verse. You know, whenever you consider 2020, so much of all of our year has been taken up by this COVID virus. I think even of the committee and the session meetings that we've had within our church, really from the lockdown onwards, the first lockdown onwards, much of our discussions in those times have been around the subject of COVID, whether it be ensuring the building is safe as we came back to it and watching over all of those things, and even as the session discussion was had as to what we could have in terms of what services were safe to run, what different events were able to take place. In all of our lives, even as you come and go from the building, instead of coming just with that focus entirely upon the worship and coming into the house of the Lord, we're all being careful as to how we come in and how we go out and not congregating and cleaning our hands. All of these things have taken over so much of our time and so much of our minds. The more that the year went on, and if you listen to the news every day, and I know some people do, I know whether it be in this congregation or even other places as well, people religiously, every night the news comes on, whether it be at 6 o'clock or 10 o'clock, they're watching the news. And for all of this year, all it's been is COVID, COVID, COVID. And so much attention has been given, even by the people of God, to the things of the world. And I'm not saying for a minute that you just have to ignore all of the issues, because that's not right. I'm not saying that at all. We take the precautions. We be wise with ourselves and with those that we come into contact with. We have all of those things in place. But for some, my concern, even as I kept coming back to this verse time and again, is that for some across, whether it be this land or further afield, and I'm speaking of Christians, their minds and their hearts have been taken completely away from the Lord. And they're, whether it be filled with fear or concern or just preoccupied with everything else that's going on, that they have not been looking upon the Lord. I kept coming back to this verse, and in the end, I took it that it was the Lord's will that this is a model text for this year. The words of Moses, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. There is no greater need in the child of God than to look upon the Lord and to see his glory. Because the more that the child of God's eyes and the more that their attention, their focus, their heart, their mind, everything is focused upon the Lord and upon his glory, then everything else pales into insignificance. All of the stresses and the burdens even that fill our hearts and fill our lives, the more that we look upon the Lord and the more that we understand who Jesus is and the more that we understand who our Lord is, how great he is, his power, his presence, his protection, his love, his compassion, His mercy, His grace. The more that we look upon our Savior, then even as that little hymn we sang, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face," the things of this earth will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Matthew Henry, speaking of the glory of God, he said, "The Lord's presence is infinite, His brightness insupportable, His majesty is awful, His dominion is boundless, and His sovereignty is incontestable." The glory of God is the sum and substance of all that God is. Thomas Watson, he said, "The glory of God is the sparkling off the deity." R.C. Sproul, he said, "The glory of God refers simply to who God is." And if each one of us is at desire, and each one of us wants to understand and to see the glory of God, then from the outset, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we each must do something that is completely foreign to us. We must look away from self. We must take our eyes off self and we must fix our eyes upon the Lord, for only then will you see His glory. Of course, that is completely alien to us because each one of us is born in sin. Adam and Eve, they lost much of that glory of God in the Garden of Eden. And we sinned in Adam, we fell with him, and therefore, as Paul said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For many today, even within so-called Christian churches in Christendom, there are churches or individuals across this land and further afield that have elevated self. That even when they gather together in a church, it's no longer about the worship of God. It's about the performance of man. It's about the entertainment of man. It's no longer looking upon the Lord and worshiping Him and praising Him and seeking to learn more of Him, but rather more and more man is self-centered. Man has centered all of the worship around himself. To the point where Ichabod could be wrote upon many churches' doors, upon individuals' lives, for the glory of God has departed from them. Remember, brethren and sisters, man's chief end is to glorify God, to enjoy Him forever. We mentioned that at the end of last year. Our praise service. Every time that we put more emphasis upon self or upon man, then the last place that you're giving to the Lord and you're giving to His glory. And the glory of God ought to be the longing of the redeemed. And the goal of their redemption is to behold the glory of God. Three things I want to leave with you this morning in relation to this model text. I want you to see firstly in the verse 18 the experience that is desired. The experience that is desired. Moses said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." You know, this petition of Moses is a wonderful plea, but yet at the same time it's a very interesting plea. For Israel and Moses had seen much of the glory of God in the past. They had saw the glory of God in the plagues that came upon the Egyptians. They had saw that great glory as the great creator and controller of heaven and earth. He sent forth frogs. He sent forth lice, boils, darkness. He took the lives of all of the firstborn in Egypt. That just showed all of the preeminence of His glory. They saw the glory of God as well at the Red Sea when the Lord preserved every Israelite and yet killed every Egyptian in Exodus 14. That showed forth His power. They saw His glory in the giving of the manna and the quail and the water coming out of the rock. There's the glory of God and His provision, Exodus 16. They saw the glory of God in the defeat of the Amalekites. There's His protection in Exodus 17. They would see the glory of God in the pillar of cloud and fire, which led them both day and night. There's the glory of God in His presence. And then they saw the glory of God in the giving of the law to the children of Israel and the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20 and following. There's the glory of God in His precepts. But yet all of that was not enough for Moses. It wasn't enough simply to live in the past. wasn't enough to simply live off the past blessings that they had enjoyed, to simply look back and talk over of how the Lord had blessed in the past, how the Lord had protected in the past and provided in the past. This was a new day. This was a new time for Moses. And he comes once again and he says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. You see, Moses needed to experience the glory afresh. On top of that, the context for this passage in particular shows that rebellion and wickedness was becoming more and more prevalent within the camp. The Israelites had been involved in immoral acts when Moses was in Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments. And even here in Exodus 33, if you look at the verse 7 of it, the tabernacle of the Lord had to be taken out of the camp. It tells us Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, but far off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. Before Moses could ever say those words, I beseech thee, show me thy glory, before Moses could ever experience the glory of God afresh, there had to be the separation. There had to be the separation from sin. There had to be the coming away from all that was ungodly, from all that was immoral. There had to be that separation, that distance placed between the godliness and the holiness of God, and that which was off the world. You see, the Israelites, all that was upon their minds and upon their hearts was sin and rebellion. Because of their sin, it's very interesting when you consider the words of Exodus 24 and 17. This is a reality for each one that is unsaved. Each one that is in their sin. And each one that loves sin instead of loving the Lord, the glory and the appearance of the glory of God appears as a terrible sight. Tells us Exodus 24, 17 that the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire in the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. It was something that absolutely startled them, something that absolutely terrified them. Why? Because of their hearts, because of their sin. And yet Moses' heart's desire was, Lord, show me thy glory. You know, even in the midst of the dark days in which we're living, even in the midst of much sin and much rebellion against God's word, even though the state of this land spiritually is growing darker and darker, yet for each one of the children of God, even if you're on your own in relation to this current desire, and this experience that's desired, that ought to be the cry of our hearts. Even if we find ourselves separated from the world spiritually and we're standing apart from them even physically because of the sin and the wickedness, even though it's just yourself, the desire of Moses ought to be the desire of your heart. Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Not a case of going to try and seek company with the world, but rather, though no one join me, still I will follow. And Lord, I beseech thee. Because did you notice the words of Moses? Now, verse 18, he doesn't say, I beseech thee, show us thy glory. He doesn't say, I beseech thee, show everyone thy glory. He says, I beseech thee, show me. I need it, Lord. Moses is standing before the Lord and he's saying, Lord, I need to see thy glory for myself. Yes, I'm the leader of the people. Yes, I'm the one that thou hast raised up to lead these Israelites. But Lord, for my personal walk, for my personal love for thee, for my personal growth even in God, I need to see God's glory for myself. I need to experience it for myself again and again. You know, just like Paul in Philippians 3 and 10, he said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. Just like Jacob in Genesis 32 and 29, after wrestling with the angel of God, he said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." Just as the psalmist in Psalm 42 in the verses 1 and 2, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God." Now I wonder this morning, do you thirst for God's glory? Do you desire to know God? Do you desire to see more of God even in 2021? You know, as I've said, yes, in the past, last year, so much of our attention, our thoughts, our heart, our deliberations, everything that took on place and took place in our individual lives and our families and even in the church family and everything, so much was about the things in terms of medical. And there was a place for that, as I've said already, there was a place, there was a time had to be given to it. But how much do we desire the Lord? How much do we long to see the Lord? How much do we long to experience His glory? You know, the wonderful reality is this: each person that desires to see God's glory is rewarded with it. Because you look at the verse 19. Moses, he said in the verse 18, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." The verse 19, the Lord says, "I will make all my goodness to pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." You know, Moses would experience God's goodness pass before him. He would experience God's greatness being proclaimed to him. He would experience God's grace being provided for him. He experienced God's glory both in God's countenance and His character. Child of God, you can too. Even throughout 2021, to experience God's presence, experience God's protection, experience God's power even in your life. That desire is upon your heart. If that prayer is continually upon you, "Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory," the Lord answers. The experience desired. But then if you turn over with me to Hebrews in the chapter 1, I want you to see the example displayed. Hebrews in the chapter 1. I just want to read three verses with you. Hebrews chapter 1 and the opening three verses of the book. It says in chapter 1, the verse 1, "God, who at sundry times, in divers manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." Look at verse 3. "Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down in the right hand of the majesty on high." Verse 3, especially just those opening words, "who being the brightness of his glory." He is the example displayed. You know, you want to experience God's glory. You want to see God's glory for yourself in 2021. You need to come to Christ. You need to look afresh upon the Savior. You want to see the holiness. You want to see the wisdom. You want to see the love of God. You need to look to Christ. He is the brightness of the Father's glory. He's the sun rays of the sun. How do you know the sun's bright? How do you know the sun's hot? You know it by the rays. How do we know what God is like? How do we know who God is? Because of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, the Lord Jesus is superior to all others. He's equal with his Father. We know the Catechism. There's three persons in the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one God, the same in substance. They're equal in power and glory. That's what's set out even in the opening chapters of the book of Hebrews. Chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, it's showing us that Christ is superior to all of the prophets. Chapter 1, verses 4 to 18, Christ is superior to all of the angels. Chapter 3, it tells us Christ is superior to Moses. Chapter 4, Christ is superior to Joshua. Chapter 5, Christ is superior to Aaron. No one comes near to the example of God's glory that is found in Jesus Christ. John 17, verse 5, it says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Even though our Savior, when he walked upon this earth, was veiled in humanity and humility, he never set aside his deity. And in that, we see the glory of Christ. We see the glory of God in the incarnation of Christ. 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh." The angels sang it, even to the shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest." That was the first part of their carol at that time as they appeared unto the shepherds. The first thing they said, "Glory to God in the highest." Why? The incarnation of Christ. We see the glory of God in the ministry of Christ. He calmed the storms. Men glorified and marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" He confounded the scholars and the officers, that they had to answer and say, "Never man spake like this man." He conquered the satanic forces. Luke 8 in the verses 26 to 33. Christ cast the devils out of Legion, the demoniac. They couldn't resist. The omniscience of God seen in Christ. The omnipotence of God is seen in Christ. He is the brightness of his glory. You know, in the New Testament, there is a parallel to Moses' petition of Exodus 33, 18. It's found in John 12 and the verse 21. Because there in that passage, the Greeks came and they said to Philip, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Now, even though Christ is clothed in human flesh, yet these men knew that this man was the brightness of God's glory. Even though they were from the Gentile nations, yet they came and they didn't desire to see the high priest. They desired rather to see Christ. And I believe the greatest example of God's glory in Christ's ministry, of course, is that which was seen upon the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew 17, the verses 1 and 2, it tells us, "After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John his brother, bringing them up into a mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, his raiment as white as the light." You know, there in that Mount of Transfiguration, even though he's still in the midst of his humiliation, even though he's still veiled, as it were, in that flesh of man, and his service as a servant under the law is still ongoing, yet his glory is revealed. He's changed before them. Peter, James, and John, they're there upon that mountaintop, and Christ shines in their presence, just like he will for all glory. We won't need the sun in heaven. We won't need the moon or the stars in heaven. We won't need any artificial lighting in heaven. Why? Christ shines. The brightness of his glory fills all of heaven. You know, we also see the glory of God at the cross. Yes, it's true. There's much suffering and shame and sacrifice at the cross. But there was much glory. There was glory when Christ cried, "It is finished." For the work was accomplished, the devil was defeated. There was glory when the rocks rent and the earth quaked and the veil was rent in twain from top to the bottom. As the Lord made that new and living way to approach the Father, there was glory in the salvation of the dying thief. There was glory in the testimony of the centurion when he glorified God and he says, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And then there was glory in the resurrection, conquering of death. The importance of that even to each and to every believer this day, for Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection, and because he's raised from the dead, therefore we too will be raised from the dead at the last day. As 1 Corinthians 15 and the verses 42 and 43 says, so also is the resurrection of the day. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. Surely there is no greater example of God's glory than the Lord Jesus Christ. The brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. Just one final thing I want to leave with you as we bring our time to a close this morning. The experience desired, the example displayed. If you come with me over to the book of Revelation in the chapter 5, I want you to see the eternality depicted. Eternality depicted, Revelation 5, verses 12 and 13. Just to set the scene, in verse 11 it says, this is John speaking in the Spirit, he says, I beheld, I heard the voice of many angels around about the throne and the beasts and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Verse 12 of Revelation 5, it says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Child of God, the glory of God will never diminish or disappear. Even the wicked at the day of judgment are going to give glory to Christ. Even the most vilest offenders, even the worst in our society, each one that rebels and rejects the Lord, yet it tells us on the day of judgment they're going to glorify Christ. Why? Philippians 2, 10, 11, at the name of Jesus, every single knee is going to bow. Verse 11, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Even though they don't love the Lord, yet they're going to glory the Lord. You know, it's interesting, the Old Testament, the book of Joshua, the man Achan, he rebelled against the Lord and coveted and took those things out of Jericho and hid them in his tent. Whenever he was confronted with his sin, it tells us in Joshua 7, verse 19, Joshua, whenever Achan's brought before him, Joshua says to him, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. Even the sinners, the wicked, the heathen, the Christ rejecters, will all give glory to the Lord in judgment day. The wicked will be dealt with justly and righteously. The great white throne upon which the Lord himself will sit. And after that day of judgment, each one who is saved will be in the presence and the glory of God forever. Not seen through a glass darkly, but rather face to face. As I said already, there's no need for the sun, for Christ will shine. Revelation 21, it speaks of the new heaven and the new earth. In Revelation 21, verse 23, it says, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now you might wonder, how can we be so close to the glory of God? How can we be so close to that brightness and yet not be affected? Moses couldn't be. We read those verses in Exodus. How the Lord said, you will only see the back of me. You cannot experience me face to face. But yet in that day we will. Even the disciples, the Mount of Transfiguration, they couldn't look what had happened. They fell to the earth and they fell asleep. Their eyes were closed. But yet, we shall be in that presence forever and forever. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 is the reason why. Because there it says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Child of God, there's coming a day when we will all be changed. The mortal will put on immortality. We shall be like him, and for all eternity we shall give him glory. We shall sing. We shall serve. And we shall see. But I wonder this morning, even as we step out into this year, only the Lord knows what 2021 will bring to every family. Only the Lord knows what this year will bring to every individual, whether positive or negative. But I wonder, are you starting out this year with the Lord in your heart? I wonder, are you starting out this year having turned from your sins? You confess Christ as your King and Lord of your life. Do you know anything of the Lord's glory? I wonder, child of God, today, are you starting out this year with your life bringing glory to God? Are you walking with Him? Desirous for His presence. Desires for His power even upon you. I wonder today as we start this year, is our prayer the prayer of Moses? I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now, as I said earlier, the Israelites who were living in sin, they saw it as a great and a terrible sight. But Moses, he longed for it. He loved it. I wonder this morning, how are you starting this year? You long for God's glory? Are you hiding from it? Well, I trust and pray this day that each and every one, that they will be able to leave here that prayer upon their heart, Lord, show me thy glory. That God's glory will fill this house. Every opportunity, every day that we come together in this house, whether it be in the Sunday services, whether it be in the prayer meeting night, whether it be in the youth, whether it be in the Sabbath school or the other meetings that there is, God willing, even as the mission takes place in September, We longing for God's glory to descend upon this house. We longing for God's presence to be such that nothing else matters around us. It's only about the Lord. This is a sacred place that we come into, and we can come in knowing that God is in the midst. Oh, may that be the prayer of our hearts. That when we come to the end of December, the end of this year, that we will look back and we will be able to praise and to say, Lord, your glory was so evident every single time. But then we'll keep praying, Lord, for the next year. We beseech thee, show me thy glory again. And unsaved, the greatest way you can give glory to God is to give him your heart. To give him your all. To say, Lord, here's my life, take it. Let it be consecrated now to thee. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee, O God, for thy word. Lord, may it be the prayer of each and every heart throughout 2021 that we will see the glory of God. That we will see the glory of God in our individual lives. That we will have that daily communion with our Father in heaven. That he will speak to us each and every day through his word. We will speak to him. Lord, we pray for thy glory to be evident in this house. We think even in the opening day of the temple, with all the festivities that there was in Solomon's day, and yet when the glory of God descended, they couldn't even stand and minister in their places. God, we confess we've never experienced the glory of God like that. Oh, may this be a year when God's glory is evident. May it be evident in the salvation of souls. May it be evident in the revival of thy people's hearts. May it be evident in the awakening even of our land, in the turning off it from rebellion and from sin and from wickedness, and the turning off it even towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may Christ be uplifted this year. May we see even the brightness of his glory. May men and women, O God, look upon him, the one who died upon the cross for their sins. O Father, write thy word upon our hearts. Bless us as we separate one from the other. Take us to our homes in safety. Bring us again this evening time for the testimony meeting. Bless in it. Pour out thy spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.